April 5th, 1979, talking to Stanley Dale in Manly Hot Springs. Photograph number 76. Okay, I guess what we're doing is just having each one described. So we might be going over some of them again.
What do you want to know now on that?
Just all the things you had said before, who it is, where it is.
This is taken in light, live and good. That's about, 1949 or so. And that's in front of, it was a Pioneer pool hall, they call it. At a restaurant and a pool table in there, and they sold groceries and liquor and had a little bar and run by a old timer, Charlie Erickson. And this guy here is, that's George Gadoff. He's an old timer. And this young fella is Vincent Tim. He was a cat skinner for Live and Good Placers. Mm-hmm. They're out there. It's Dawkins, of course.
So how long did this guy stay around?
Well, he was around...
Erickson, you said?
No, well, Erickson had the...
Oh, the store.
He had the store. This guy was... he used to mine, and then he worked in later years. He worked for the old road commission in the state, and... He, when he retired, he moved out to Seattle. He retired out there.
Were you still going out to Live and Good quite a bit in 49?
Well, that's when there was a lot going on there. The dredgers running, and that's when the Live and Good Placers was doing lots of work around there then. They used to hire a lot of men in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Were you working when you took that?
No, I never worked for them myself. I was always, when I was around there, I was trapping on West Fork or Hess River.
Mm-hmm. So you had just come in from trapping?
Yeah, that was taken in the spring of the year when they were getting ready to open up.
Is that where you'd come in to sell your first?
Well, no, there never was nobody around there buying. For once in a while, a fur buyer would come in there, but that was our head supply, where you got our supplies, you know. And used to live around there too, you know, hang around there.
Number 77.
Well, that's Dixie, of course, my daughter, and Elizabeth Woods, that's taken out here by...
About how old were they then? You know what year?
I imagine about 11, 12 years old, huh? Yeah. Something like that. I can't remember.
Right. So that's probably 10 or 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 78.
This is, we're having a picnic out here at Baker Creek, you know, right out here where... you know, Albert George was living in that cabin, that right by that cabin there. That was before the road was in here from Fairbanks. There was a road from here to there all the time.
And, mm-hmm. And who are these people in the picture?
My glasses.
Let's see. You say this person bending over on the left.
These two... girls were, their name was George, Sophie and Hazel George. Mm-hmm. And that girl further on, you can see her, just her mm-hmm. face, that was Bill Thomas's wife. He was an aircraft mechanic here for Bob Byers. Mm-hmm. And that's these two kids here. And that one is Ronnie Byers, and that's his sister, Patsy. And then the two that's got their back to the picture, that's Bob Byers and that's his wife, Gladys. Mm. They were dishing out some food.
Mm-hmm. Did you know what year this was about?
That was about, I'd say, 47, 48. one of them, right in there. I can't remember off, right off.
So what were you doing in Manly that year?
I was just around here. I was fishing on a river that year. I was fishing for dogs.
79?
Yeah, well, that's Dixie's mother.
Mm-hmm. And what's her name?
Hazel. Mm-hmm. That's taken at Lake Mechuna. I don't remember what year that was.
Did you folks spend time up at Lake Mechuna too?
No, I never spend much time. I was there a couple of times, but I never spend much time.
Okay. Number 80.
That was some people that lived over here. This guy was a real old-timer here, Sidney Ridge.
That's on the left.
Yeah, and that's Mrs. Wendis. And this here is Sid's wife, Babe, they called her. Mm-hmm. That's taken about 36, I guess, 1936. Yeah, about 35, 36, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm. And where was this at?
Taken right here, right over there where that cabin, that new cabin is. Mm-hmm. There was an old cabin there, tore it down.
Mm-hmm. Number 81.
Well, that's a family of natives is up here from Cross Jacket getting their supplies. And, Lee Albert and... And, well, this is Jimmy Albert, and that's old Willie Fozier. No, that's his son, Junior Willie, and that's old Willie there sitting in a boat. And that guy with the hat on, that's the, that they call him Big Moses.
Did you know these people?
Yeah, I knew all of them well, yes.
When did you usually see him? Was that during fishing time? Or?
That was in the summer, yeah. This guy here, he's still in town now. He's still alive. Jimmy Albert, well, he's alive too. And so is this guy, old man, senior Willie Fozier. But this Big Moses, he's dead. He died a few years ago. But he was about 90 years old, I guess, when he... And that's a picture of my brother Frank and one of his on a Tolovana when he was trapping. That's taken about 54 maybe.
What do you think the prices of fur were about that time?
Well, they would that'd be a good price if you got $15-$20 in. For a real big one, that was, yeah.
Was that all he was trapping for then?
That's part of his fur he had hanging up there in that one cabin, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 83?
That's when we had a flood year in Manly. This guy here used to live here, Clyde Larson's his name. He's, of course, dead now, too.
So was everybody in their boats then?
Yeah, well, they had, I was telling that the water come up in just a couple of hours. It jammed down there the river, and then it busted loose, and another hour or so, it was all dry again. There's no water.
84?
That was a flood year in 1937. We had a flood year, and this guy was running the roadhouse at that time. He's a real old-timer, too. His name was Al Fredlin. He was a cook by trade.
Mm-hmm. So did he own it then? Or?
No, he just leased it. He was just this while from Dan Green while he was outside.
Mm-hmm. Did a lot of people use the roadhouse then?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of people. There was quite a... They stayed open all the time, you know, dog mushers and people traveling. And there's a lot of travel over the trail then, you know.
So then was the roadhouse a place where people could go in anytime and get...
Yeah, you could get a meal or anything or beds or... At that time when he run that place even, you could get a bed there for $1 a night. And a meal for $1.50, $2. nasty little things is cheap yet.
85.
This is one of my brother's trapping cabins. He had a few beaver there and just a picture. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Was that one that he built?
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. an old cabin. He. Mm-hmm.
Where's this one at?
Anatole Vanna River, West Fork.
Okay, 86.
This is taken there on Tolavana River, too, down in the flats there. And this fella here was trapping with my, those dogs I let him use. His name is Fred Hoffs, Whitey Hoffs, we call him. He's living out in Oregon now.
Mm-hmm. So what's he doing there?
He's got a beaver that froze in the ice. You know, he come up and froze that way. He was trapping him through the ice, and he's holding that beaver in a chunk of ice.
Was he partners with your brother then?
Yeah, we used to, we trap beaver and that, just beaver together was on.
87?
Well, that's when an outfit, I don't know who the driller was at the... That was taken down below Tannen on Grant Creek when they were prospecting there. And that was on Walter Fisher's ground. There was a big company in there looking, prospecting the ground. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of the company, but I was, I don't know the driller even.
Mm-hmm. But a friend of
that was taken about 36, 37, one of them years, I forget in there. A friend of mine took that picture.
This is 88.
And that's the year we had that flood, too, when the water backed up and went out right away. This guy in a boat, that's Gus Benson. He was going over to that ridge. The airplane landed there. He was the postmaster. He was going after the mail.
Oh.
Okay, what I got here...
An old-timer that had been around here since... He was here since 1910, 1911.
What happened to him?
Well, he just got old and died, you know, like a lot of the old...
Was he in Hanley?
No, he was out in a pioneer's home, and he...
He looks like he's standing in a garden or something.
Yeah, he's standing in a garden. I think they were taking pictures of... The garden or something.
Garden was that?
Well, that's right over here, right?
Right next
right,
door.
Yeah.
Gee, that's quite a garden.
Is that his garden?
Yeah, that's his garden.
And a lot of people used to have gardens.
Oh yeah, they had big gardens around here. Everybody was raising stuff, you know. You know, they raised a lot of stuff around here. They raised a lot of stuff around here.
That was 89. Did you have gardens?
Oh, I have one once in a while. But more generally, I'm not around in the summer. Brother to the left, and that's another trapper was trapping on Baker Creek, your Fabian Carey.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing right there?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. The creek was breaking up, then they might have been doing something with fish or something.
Yeah, 91.
This picture here, this is taken on the Tolavana River. This guy, his name is Martin Carbo. We put in a couple of boats at on Alive and Good Road at not the Tolavana. What's that other creek there? Tatlina. And we floated down to the mouth of the Tannen. We're hunting rats.
How'd you do that, Tom?
Well, rats, we got quite a few rats, but there was only two bits apiece, quarter apiece. That's all they was worth then. We were just more or less just goofing around, you know.
What was that stuff in the foreground there?
Oh, we had two boats. We had a kind of a scow type. That's our supplies, some of our food.
What's that? 100 pounds of something? Is that what that 100 is?
Oh, I don't know what it's probably just a sack had something in, you know. Yeah. We didn't have too much food, you know. We lived mostly off the country.
Did you eat muskrat too?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is there and my sister and I don't know who that woman is. It's some friend.
Oh, so this is your sister in the middle?
Yeah. That's my sister.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Evelyn.
It's 91.
She's 2 years older than I am.
Oh, and what's your brother's name?
That's Frank. My brother Frank is up here with me. He was outside that time on a vacation.
Oh.
Was a partner of mine. They're trapping beaver down there. That's taken down on a Tolavana, below on the West Fork, below where McConnell's got their store. Jim Pickin is his name. Mm-hmm. We used to mine together and prospect and trap. We was in the army together. Went all through the war together. He used to hang around Live and Good and Rampart, and we done a lot of prospecting together and little mining.
Mm-hmm. When was this taken?
That was taken about, I'd say about 49, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's 92. 92. Wow. Hey, 93.
Not yet.
Well, I want something to take. I want something else to take.
Okay.
This one, that's me in front of the cabin when I was trapping up here above Baker Creek, and that's taken in 1936 in the spring. That was an old cabin there, an old Frenchman builder that used to live there. Giroux was his name, or Leroux, I forget. Him and another guy, there was another cabin. They burnt up there right next to that one a few years before that. Joe Wesselin and this Leroux.
Mm-hmm.
94. That's my brother there, and we were fishing down near at the mouth of the slough.
Is that right on the mouth of the slough?
Yeah, right on the mouth. Then you went up the river a little ways, and there about a mile up the river had a camp there. There was a fellow by the name of Rex Severite. He had that was his place. There was fishing there. Mm-hmm. Fishing together, you know. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of your good summers fishing?
No, that's just a few fish took a picture in.
'95.
I don't know who that is now. It's some native guy was in here. That's when the cabin was down below there, a good cabin. I don't know who took the picture. That was taken during the war there in the 40s, 43 or 44. I don't remember. I know that's when it was taken, but I don't know who took the picture.
Well, what I thought, I was saying about all this time you spent in the woods that you must have really gotten to know different kind of animals. And I thought maybe we just could talk about different animals and what you got to know about them and things.
Well, about all, you know, I've been around, of course, being a trapper, you know, I knew all the, like, marten and lynx and foxes and minks and wolves and wolverines and everything we were trapping, you know, which all the
trappers know, you know, a little bit, especially the old hands that have been at it.
But, you know, you might know enough about them to lay a trap out, you know, but some guys, after they've been at it for a while, know some particular things about the animals. You know, like, for instance, you were saying the other day, well, lynx, you know, they got a big country. They travel around a lot. And there's particular things like that that guys learn about different animals.
Well, yeah, you know, well, like the lynx, you know, you don't have the lynx around. Well, there's got to be rabbits to feed. That's their main feed, you know. And when they have these cycles here, you know, the rabbit every 7 years, you know, then they'll die off, you know, and then it takes 3-4 years before they start getting thick again. And then, of course, the lynx and fox and all that stuff they lived in right in the area, you know. And that's what they live off. And, you know, the rabbits, of course, everything that lives off the rabbits, you know, the hawks and ravens and owls and...
Do you ever have any run-ins with lynx?
No, I never, not with lynx. The only, bears is the only thing. Bears is the only thing that give you trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, you know, getting in your cabins, and then a lot of times you meet them, you know, like in a heavy brush, surprise them and stuff like that, you know, and...
That ever happened?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I had 2-3 different times, you know, where they come after me, you know. I run right on to them, you know.
You were, like, walking?
Yeah, walking in a...
Did you have a gun with you? Oh,
yeah. Every time I'm in a... When I'm out in the woods, I got my rifle with me all the time. Well, this one particular time when these bear... Right, you and I was working for McGee. He come in a cabin when we were the guys is working, you know, and that the road was washed out. It was in the spring of the year, and I had to walk into Manly and get a cat part. And I was gone, and there was two more fellas working there, and they were down about a mile from the camp, stripping ground, you know. And this bear got in there while they were down there working, and he just ripped the place right up, you know. He just tore everything up. So one of the guys come up, and he was going to cook something to eat. It was about 12 o'clock at night, of course, in the spring when it wasn't too dark or nothing yet, you know. And the bear come back to the cabin, you know. Well, he was in there, and bear wanted to get back in. And I had a rifle. I had two rifles there, and I took one into town with me, and I walked in, and there was another fella there. He lived in a cabin a ways from there. He took the rifle in his cabin, and he had no gun, and that bear couldn't run him off. He tried to get into the cabin, and he was beating on dish pans and frying pans. Well, the guy is Sil Kozlowski, was his name, old time around Fairbanks. And well, anyway, run the bear off. The bear took off, and so I walked back. I stayed overnight in town. I come back, and I had a Labrador retriever, half Labrador and half a bird dog. And it was a real good dog for bears or anything like, you know, a bear couldn't come around the camp. So I was sleeping by the door there, and there's a low window, and talking about this bear. He said, "That bear will be back." He said, "Have your gun ready, you know." So I had my gun right by the head of the bed, you know, and I had a shell in it. And the morning the bear come to the cabin, the dog right away let me know, you know. He jumped up and he started whimpering, you know. He didn't bark. And, of course, I jumped out of bed, and they had a low window there. And the bear, he was looking in a window. When he see me jump up, you know, he took off. So I run out and want to get rid of him because we was gone so much, you know, from the camp, and he'd get in there again. And he was running from me, and I took a shot at him, and I hit him, but I didn't kill him. And I don't know what happened, if he didn't know what he was doing, but he turned right around, it was in an open, and he come right after, right towards me, you know. He just coming right after me, full speed. Of course, I nailed him again the second time I killed him, you know. And then that same year, we were working at the head of the ditch, and there was an old cabin there, and a guy left, and he left a lot of grub in there, all fruit and stuff like that. Canned was no good, and the bears is coming. They broke in there, and they're chewing up these cans, and there was some flour, and they, every time you'd go up there, you'd have to have a rifle, you know. The bears, there's a lot of bears that year. They killed 30-some around here. Well, that was the year the bear killed Bill Strandberg out there. Well, anyway, this particular day, we was working up there, me and a cat's, a guy was running a backhoe, was working on a ditch, and I was driving the cat. And I had my rifle with me all the time because we had to walk about a mile and a half, 2 miles to camp. So that one morning we were coming up to work, and he had a dog, a Malamute, and this doggy ran ahead towards that cabin right away and figured there was something in a cabin, a bear. So of course I had my rifle, and we're walking up, and we had a ditch bank there, you know, and pretty soon this dog, he come running around the end of the cabin, and this big brown, there's a big brown bear. He was after him, after the dog. And he come so far, the brown bear, and he turned around and he run back around the cabin. When he done that, the dog run back after the bear. Then the bear started after the dog again, and the dog, he's coming right to me and this guy, right full bore. And the dog and the bear, he's right behind the bear. And it's really funny, you know, this dog, he's a-going and he's coming to where, of course, I got my rifle, I'm ready. And he's just about, he's over a foot behind that dog, this bear, and he's got his mouth open about that wide to grab him. And, of course, he's coming over this bank of this ditch, then we're right there. And it wasn't over 25, 30 feet, so I nailed him. I got him the first shot. I shot him right through the neck, and I killed him dead. But he was a good-sized brownie, and he was poor, in poor shape.
What month was that?
Oh, that was around in later, way late in May, I'd say. Way late in May, June, probably in June.
So they've already been out for a little while.
Oh, yeah, they've been out for quite a while.
What year was that? They had all those bears around here.
What year was that now?
Is that 64 or 63 or something?
Let's see. No, it is after that. It is about 62, I think, somewhere in there. 62, yeah. Yeah, I'd say then, yeah. 63, probably. 62, 60, one of them years. It's right in there, I forget. There's bears all over town. We're all over. You know, Walter Wood shot one right in his yard. He come right after him, too. They were crazy. I don't know what was the matter with them. They were all poor, though, hungry. All in bum shape.
How do you know they were poor? I mean,
they're just skinny, you know. Just nothing, they couldn't get nothing to eat.
No fat on the back?
Yeah, there's no, but you could play a tune on their ribs, you know. They're just thick, and there was just nothing but bone and hide, and they were breaking, getting in these cabins, and yeah, you couldn't leave nothing around there. I don't know where they all come from. They seemed like there were lots of bears. Well, they shot 30-some bear right around all through here, you know. They're coming right in town now, and they wouldn't, that was a odd year, you know. I've seen lots of bears in my time. Oh, generally it'd make a noise, you know, especially the black bears. If you didn't surprise them, they take off, run away, you know. But that year they'd come after you instead of running away.
Have you ever seen them act like that any other year?
No, that's the only year. That's the only year I've had. I've run onto a few, you know, that surprised them, you know, and Well, right at the mouth of the Tolovana that same year, there was they're fishing in Atlin Lake with a float plane, and a friend of mine and his wife, and they were loading up the bear come right to the plane, right to the plane, while the woman this woman was out standing on a beach, you know, there's beach there, you know, and come after her, and while the two guys is putting stuff in the float plane, you know, and. And by the time she knew what to do, you know, this bear knocked her down, and he grabbed her by the leg, and he was dragging her off in the brush. And, of course, she was a screaming bloody murder, and they had some guns, but they had them already in the airplane, you know, and stuff piled on. They finally did get a pistol and ran out there and held, got up to the bear and shot it in the head and killed it.
Well, would you say in general bears are really dangerous animals? Or?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know. There are times, you know, when you never know. But as a rule, you can run them off pretty easy, you know. Like out in the woods, you don't have no trouble. They hear you coming or something, they'll take off. Or... But I know two or three different cases where the same guy that was with me when I shot that brown bear coming after us, he was living out near Eureka, and he had the same dog in a cabin, and a bear come to the cabin that night while he was in there, and he didn't have no gun, and that bear was trying to get in a cabin, and the dog was in there barking and everything else, and he said he was beating on dish pans and frying pans, and the bear, he was trying to get in the door. He said that finally, after a bit, the bear took off, he said, but he said he didn't want to leave, and that dog was, he said, the dog was really raising Cain in there, you know.
Well, what about other animals, like, say, wolverine, what kind of trouble can they make?
Well, you know, wolverine and that, they're bad, too, for getting in cabins, they'll get in your... like if you got meat cached or something, you know, they're bad on that, you know. Of course, they'll follow your line, too, and pick up fur, you know, and tear it up, eat it up, you know, and they're good on that.
You ever have any problems with wolverine yourself?
I never had to. I've had them get a little fur on me, but most generally, when I was trapping, I had a lot of big traps, and I'd set them on my trails and everything, and I'd get them before they get a chance. I've lost fur, though, but not too much, you know.
So you set a trap on your trail for a wolverine, even though you don't know that
there's... No, yeah, in case one comes down, you know, or you set them close to, like you have marten sets or something. And, well, this one time, it's hard, too, to judge a wolverine. They'll come in a cabin and that. This one particular time when I was trapping up Hess, I had a cabin, and just before I got to the cabin, I was coming with my dogs, and I see where this wolverine, about a half a mile from the cabin, I see where this wolverine hit my trail, and he's hitting right for the cabin. And I wasn't in there for about a week or so, I guess. I was gone, and I didn't have no door in the cabin. I just had a canvas over the door, and in the trip before that, I left a bale of fish in there, dogfish for my dogs. I had five dogs that year, and of course, when I seen his track is on fresh snow, I was thinking, well, I know what happened. He got in the you know, and he went right past the cabin. He went right past the door. He didn't go over 6-7 feet away from the door, and I had a up the creek where I a draw there. I had some marten sets, and he went up there. And so that same night, it was early, same afternoon, I unhooked the dogs and put on my snowshoes, and I ran up there to see if he got in it. And I had some trail sets. And I had one set, big number four trap, right, just about 10 feet away from where I had a marten set. I had a pole set. And I had a marten in that set when I got there. And evidently this Wolverine, he was get that Martin, he got in this big trap. Well, I got him before he got to the Martin, you know, and he was in there. And then this one particular time, I got to tell you that, where this Wolverine, I went in early with my dogs that I was trapping on Heskrick, and I went in about 25 miles. There's only about 2-3 inches of snow, and I had 4 dogs that year. And I got to the cabin there, and I had some fish and took with me and dog feed and my own grub. And so I was working around the cabin, you know, getting things ready, you know, straightening things up. And so that night, I had a 30-06 Remington Express, and I had a 22 rifle, and I took them in a cabin and I cleaned them up good, you know, and I just left them in a cabin. And I had these four dogs, and I had dog houses built. There's some trees, they're big spruce trees, and I had dog houses built for them. And the dogs woke me up about I'd say 3 o'clock in the morning, 2-3 o'clock, somewhere in there. And they just start raising Cain, and there was a lot of moose around, and I figured a moose wandered in the yard, you know, and all at once they just quit just like that, you know. And of course it was dark, I didn't pay no attention. And that morning I got up and I started a fire, and I went outside. I was going to get some water, you know, the creek was still, go down to the creek was still running, you know, there was ice on it, but open in a few places. And I heard some noise, and I thought it was a moose out there. And there was a lot of alders, willows and that around there. And I was looking through the brush, see if there was a moose, you know, just looking. And what happened, this Wolverine come to the cabin that night, and he walked right between them dogs, you know. I couldn't figure that out. When they start, raising Cain, he run up this tree. And he climbed up this tree, and he sat there all night. Of course, when I come out of the cabin, build the fire, he's backing down, and I hear that. And then I tumbled. I looked up, and I see him coming down. So I run in the cabin after the rifle, you know, and by the time, and the dogs never said a word, you know. If they'd have started barking, he'd have went back up that tree, you know. And when I run out with the rifle, he was down on the ground. He started hitting through the brush. Well, I touched one off, but I missed him. I didn't hit him, you know. But he's a big, I caught 3 around there that winter, so I think I nailed him anyway. There was a $15 bounty on him then, on Wolverines.
I think I'm going to switch this.